late tonight, but looks like we've got a full crowd here. Welcome. Let's see. Don, you're going to lead us in prayer, and we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance. Kyle?
Yes, sir.
All right. Start with the Pledge of Allegiance. Everybody please stand.
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A moment of prayer. Gracious Lord, again we meet to deliberate on water issues vital to the public we serve. We seek your guidance and wisdom. Praise is given for the bountiful rainfall after several drought-weary years. We are also mindful of the worrisome dangers of hillside mudslides. May residents in these precarious areas be spared. In your name, amen.
All right, I officially call the meeting to order. Madam Secretary, roll call if you would, please.
Director Don Olinger.
Here.
Director Greg Young.
Here.
Director Dr. Young.
Here.
Vice President Kyle Crowther.
Here.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor.
I'm here, thank you. Okay, I make a motion to adopt the agenda. Do I have a second?
I will second the motion.
Seeing no opposition. Any opposition? Madam Secretary, take a vote.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Director Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
Director Dr. Michael Taylor? I'm sorry.
It doesn't matter,
President
yes.
President Dr. Michael Taylor? Vice President... I apologize, I have an old roll call sheet. Director Greg Young?
Yes.
And Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes. Here.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to board presentations. And the first presentation we have is from Southern California Edison, Southern Generation Incentive Program. Check presentation, please.
Yes, Mr. Board President, this is in regards to our hydroelectric plant that was installed recently, and it's to offset the electrical costs for that plant. It's a very successful program. But I'm going to have Linda from engineering come here and say a few words on it.
Hi, Linda.
Board members, President, I'd like to give you a little bit of background on the project. In September, or at the September 2014 joint board meeting between West Valley Water District Board and the San Bernardino Valley Municipal Water District, an agreement in principle was agreed upon for the design and funding of the Oliver P. Romer Hydroelectric Generation Plant, project financing by Valley District. Enline Energy provided the design and engineering services for the project and construction management by Valley District. Project management was done by staff Rosa Gutierrez. The project will generate renewable energy by converting hydraulic pressure that is supplied to our Romer plant, and it turned it into electricity, and the power generated will offset the electrical costs at our treatment facility. This is all done through the Net Energy Metering Tariff Program through Southern California Edison. The hydroelectric station contains two pumps and turbines with a provision for a future one, and it's housed in an electrical a pump house with electrical switchgear, which is connected to Southern California Edison. It's estimated the hydro plant will generate an annual revenue of $339,000 per year. And today we have with us some representatives from Southern California Edison, Ms. Virginia Velasquez, Ms. Jennifer Shaw, and Ms. S.B. Brache.
Hi, good night, everyone. Thank you, Board of Directors, for inviting us here tonight. And just want to tell you a little bit of the our program. The Self-Generation Incentive Program provides financial incentives to SE customers who install generating equipment to offset their electrical demand. Along with electric demand reductions, the purpose of the SGIP is to contribute to the greenhouse emissions reductions. The West Valley District installation of a 450 kW pressure reduction turbine generation system has met all the program requirements and is contributing to the electric demand reduction as well as reducing California's greenhouse emissions. So it is with a great pleasure that we present to the West Valley District an SGIP incentive check for $454,260. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, why don't we get a picture? Nasheem, you want to put it all together for us?
Members, if you guys are able to just come down real quick, we'll get a quick photo op.
Sure.
It'll be less than 30 seconds.
Okay, we have a second presentation from Eisenhower High School football team recognition, I believe. Ricardo, is that something you're going to handle?
Yeah, thank you. So first, I want to welcome all of you that are here. We're very proud today. We were the West Valley Water District was a proud sponsor of the Eisenhower High School Eagles football team during their 2018 season. So is Eisenhower Eagle football team, are you guys in the house? Let's hear it. Okay, we're very proud of you. The Eagles went on for a 14-1 this season with the help of their coach, Al Brown, who put the team together, molded them for a 3-7 finish in the last season to the CIF Football Championship Division 10. It was the first in 25 years. We also want to thank the Eisenhower High School Administration, their principal, Frank Camacho, head coach, Al Brown, athletic director, Monique Marquez. The West Valley Water District sponsored four meals throughout the season, and with the staff and Dr. Olinger helped to serve some of the meals. We have a number of nice pictures with staff and Director Olinger out there with our football players. The Eagles were also provided with the West Valley Water District reusable water bottles. And this program was funded through a special program with the West Valley Board of Directors, who had a special sponsorship program, and we wanted to educate the public about what we do in our role as the West Valley Water District. We also use unclaimed funds from our customers who were used to establish this program. So if anyone wants more information about our program or how to get future support, you can call our Public Affairs Department. And with that, I'd like to ask the board members to step down for a photo op. The board president is going to present a certificate for all of you, and then if you could all step forward, all the football players, come step right here, and we'll take a big photo op. So big round of applause for our football players.
All right, guys.
pass it up here, can we?
I'm the shortest one here, but I'm a director. Get ready. So let's go ahead and scoot back. Please watch your step. There is a step back there, so please watch your step.
We'll take the quick photo.
And then we're going to have you guys scoot back a lot more. And then we're going to have
yes,
the
take photo.
Director come down, please.
Good job.
That's what I'm saying. Just make sure they get them. Yeah, so make sure they get them.
Oh.
All right, and we have the other directors coming in as well. Mr. Director Young.
What?
Both the Director Youngs. So I'd like to include you guys in there. Director Olinger, you were serving food. You definitely deserve to be in there. All right, players, do you guys mind scooting back a little bit just so she has enough room to take the picture? Yeah, the coaches and the directors, please.
Let's have
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you.
Well done.
Congratulations, man. Good.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yes, I do. I remember meeting him.
Yes, when I come, yeah, you and I'm not here. Sorry. Your mom, see you later.
I was going to say, your mom talks about you so much.
Hey, congratulations, my friend. Congratulations.
Mama.
Nice job.
Thank you.
All
right, love you guys. Have a nice day.
All right, you too.
All right. Public comment?
Yeah. Wait, she puts it on the screen because I can't read it.
That
one Thank you. Okay, we're going to move on to public participation. Any person wishing to speak to the Board of Directors on matters listed or not listed on the agenda within its jurisdiction is asked to complete a speaker card, which you guys have done, and submit it to the district clerk. Each speaker is limited to 3 minutes under the State of California Brown Act. The Board of Directors is prohibited from discussing or taking action on any item on the posted agenda. Comments related to notice public hearings and business matters will be heard during the occurrence of the item. All right, anybody wishing to speak? I have. Only two cards. How about Mr. Griggs first?
Thank you. Before you start my time, I just wanted to congratulate Eisenhower, whom my kids all graduated from Eisenhower. My granddaughter graduated from Eisenhower. My nephew played on that team 25 years ago that won the championship. And he's now a homicide detective here in town. And he got a scholarship to San Diego State because of Eisenhower, and he graduated in 4 years. So I'm very proud of him. And also, while I'm on it, I also would like to congratulate those from the water company, Edison, $500,000. Wow, I'm impressed. And being an ex-employee of Edison Company, I just want everyone to know that anytime I hear something about Edison, and again about the Oliver Romer facility, I get excited, having known Mr. Romer again. But anyway, I wanted to say those two things before I started. Very important. Thank you. Again, Don Griggs, President, Ratepayers Association. And I want to thank as well Crystal, Clarence, and the staff of OP Romer facility. Nassim, did he leave? Nassim? Okay. And he was there as well. I wanted to thank him for the great tour that was given to the ratepayers and the WAG members last Saturday. And also wanted to thank Greg Young, Director Young, for greeting us on behalf of the board as well. The tour is well appreciated, and the professionalism of the staff and the knowledge gained from that presentation was beyond belief. And we want to thank you very much for it. And also please thank the two employees that were there. They were excellent over there with their presentations. I have congratulated you on the current direction the district is going under the new leadership of the board and the new general manager, which is great. However, like any bad storm that passes, we still have some dark clouds lingering over our heads. I noticed for your closed session agenda items, existing litigation by a former employee, Karen Lowe, who you placed on paid administrative leave until April 2018. This is one of those things that keeps lingering around from Dr. Young, eagerness to fire everyone who believed he was using his position as president to line his pockets with ratepayers' money. Then you have three anticipated litigation cases on the agenda as well. From our research and your records, we have already spent over $1 million in legal costs to the ratepayers, not including settlement costs and the loss of $5 million in insurance. When you add in your meeting payments, health, dental, and long-term care benefits, it appears you are doing this for personal and selfish gains and not for the civil service to the community. From a quick survey of other districts, you are the only district that offers and pay for long-term care for a board member. I am requesting the board to investigate what happened on December 7th, 2017 celebration event. Was the celebration approved by the board as a district function? If so, when was it approved? Because we cannot find it in any minutes. Who paid for the celebration after it was over? When was the staff and public invited, and who invited them? How did the staff and public know where to go? I think you would want to know in detail about this event before you're answering questions from the Attorney General's office. Two of you were new to the board, so you could not have known. So you need to ask Dr. Young in closed sessions to tell you everything about that celebration, since we know he got paid for putting it on. Did he commit a crime? I don't know, but you need to know. All of you raised your right hands and took an oath prior to taking your seat on the dais. Revisit those oaths, revisit those words, and be true to who you are. And if you see something, say something. If you know something, say something. Otherwise, I classify you as an enabler. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. All right, the next person is Bobby Koenig. Bobby Koenig, welcome. You might want to put the microphone up so we can hear it. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Towards you a little bit more. Thank you.
I would like to start by thanking everyone that made it possible for me to finally get water on my property. I received a call from Robert Tafoya finally last Thursday. It was a much, I was very excited to get that phone call. I went to the water company the next day on Friday, and I met with Nadia. She was very wonderful. I paid her the $688 in fees. She told me that she would work on getting the meter put in by Wednesday. And I told her that would be great. When I showed up to my property on Tuesday, because I didn't expect them to show up Monday, but I guess someone did show up on Monday evening. On Tuesday, I found several workers at the property, and there were holes, and this is what was inside one of the holes. I recently found out after that I was speaking with Rudy. I had asked him about the two lines that are here, and he had explained to me that on Monday when the worker came out, I guess he broke the PVC and there was a water geyser, so they were there just to fix that water geyser. And I asked him about the other line sticking out, and I said, is that actually another linear line? He told me, well, you'll have to ask the engineer. I said, well, has it ever been connected to? He told me no. So I immediately went to the water company and I met with Clarence and Linda and also Joanne. I shared this picture with them at that time, confirming that this is actually another, I guess, lateral line. I apologize, a lateral line. There's actually two lateral lines coming from the water main. I expressed to them, since in my 108 conditions from the city of Rialto, number 8, they're requiring me to have a public right-of-way irrigation system and a separate meter for them, that I actually need that other line. which then Clarence told me there's no record of it, meaning it's illegal. We're actually taking it out. I asked him and Linda to provide me with information, because from my understanding, even in the last 8 months, to get information that the records should be actually recorded with the city and the water company. The city has told me go to Public Works. Public Works has told me to go to the water company. In the last 5 months, this was the only record that was given to me. And she told me that day, I gave you the record already. I've since Tuesday taken this record even to the engineer at Public Works, who told me this is actually a preliminary map, that there should be a final map at the water company. After about an hour at Public Works, this was the only thing he could provide me, is their log for water company. And if you're able to see here is 8/10 of 1979, and the next line is 6/18 of 1980, leaving 10 months of no record at all. Where this map shows January 29th of 1980. So the exact gap in public records is where I need the record. So again, I asked Linda, is there any way you can provide me, because I'm at your mercy, you've got me against the wall, honestly, that you're telling me you're pulling a line out that I need unless I can prove that it's there legally. But I also questioned, doesn't it make sense that it was put in legally and never used because it was never built on? It doesn't make sense someone would have put in a legal line and never used it. I also have pictures of the box that they did take out Monday, which is for 2 meters. This is a box that has 1 meter, and clearly mine is for 2 meters, and clearly the meter that was in there is far to the right side of the box, leaving the left side for another meter to be put in. I also wanted to let the board know that there was actually even 2 gas meters put in on my property. And I believe because there's 2 parcels there, that they actually put in 2 gas lines and 2 water lateral lines in. But I'm getting told that unless I can prove it, that it's illegal and they're taking it out, and it will cost me, I know on a 1-inch meter, $11,915 just in the fee to put it back. So I'm looking for anyone's help to figure out when these were put in legally, documentations other than a preliminary map to prove that it was put in at the same time. Also in my paperwork, I asked today Linda to give me a picture of what they took out, because I believe it's identical to the existing one, in my opinion, proving that they were both put in at the same time. These lines look identical on the bottom, and I believe the top are also. I only have this picture that you could see where you would turn with a key, does look identical to the one they're saying is illegal and needs to be taken out. Today I was given a paper like this. Originally the bottom was cut off. Today she provided me one that has the bottom, which led me to Johnson Engineering. I did go to his office today. He still is in the city of Rialto. He was out of the office. I guess he won't be in until tomorrow, hoping that possibly he can come up with the final papers to prove that the line actually was put in legally. I have also contacted the Singletary's office. The secretary there, her name is Lisa. 2 days of going through their files, but because there was no, it didn't have an address, it's hard through their files, so it's been very timely. Currently, it's my understanding they're going to pull that line out on Tuesday, and I am asking for it not to be pulled out because I do need it. And if I can get any kind of help to get those records, if there's any way we can prove that it is actually a legal line and it was put in 2 water lines and 2 gas lines to that property, that any help will be appreciated.
All right, thank you, Ms. Koenig. Claire, have you presented all this documentation that you have here to our general manager, all of it?
Yes, sir.
All right.
He told me without proof that it was put in legally, it's illegal, and he's pulling it out.
All right, so, okay.
Under the law, if we have a what's considered an illegal line that's not properly connected to the system, we have to take it out. That's a cross connection, and that's not allowed. And we've searched our records. We have no evidence of that line being approved. The one line that she does have that is approved, we're actually replacing that to bring it up to, because it's all PVC, we're replacing that to bring it up to modern standards, which is copper. And this line, we have to take out unless, and we've looked at our records and we've asked her if she could find anything that would prove, and she's contacted Singletary, the developer, to see if they have anything that proves that they have the authority to put in that line.
It sounds like he's out on leave or vacation or something temporarily.
That is Johnson Engineering. So it's two different companies. Mm-hmm. I've been driving around in the rain for 3 days trying to find information. And even the fact that they're saying the one line is legal, they're basing that on a documentation that is a preliminary documentation, that they're not even showing a permanent, like the final. If you notice on here, there's red markings. They're telling me that the red markings mean they were still changing the preliminary, that there were changes to this. That's what the red markings are, that right. There's changes to this. So this doesn't even prove that the one line is legal. Then today, Linda gave me this paper trying to tell me that the one line is legal. Here's the paper. There's no date on this paper, and there's no signature on this paper, which, from my understanding, makes it not a legal documentation.
Okay, let's do this. Clarence, can you do me a favor? Can you put something together for the executive committee, and then we'll meet prior to pulling that one line out?
Okay, we can do
right.
that.
Does that sound fair enough, Ms. Koenig?
Thank you. Yes, sir.
All right.
Can I make a suggestion to
sure.
the executive committee? I mean, this is a highly unique situation. I think, Don, I think we'd even asked you if anything like this had ever come up, and you said no in all your years on the board. This stems from a territory which we annexed a long time ago, but this was work that was done prior to our annexation. So I'm not surprised we don't have the documentation because we didn't do the work. But here we have a customer who is trying to do her due diligence but also get her business set up. I say, or I would recommend to the committee that if staff needs to rip it out and put it in so that it's all kosher, fine. Let's just do that. We eat the cost because we absorbed any liability to the previous infrastructure when we annex this portion into the district. So I think we have a greater liability to pay for the screw-ups of the past than she does, frankly. So I would recommend that the executive committee just direct staff to do whatever they need to do to get her going, and we'll just absorb whatever that ends up being, and then that way we can both move forward with everything being what it needs to be at that point.
All right, so if you'll bring that to the executive committee and we'll go over it and we'll move on from there. Sound good?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Drive safely.
All right,
me
you
too.
All right, we're done with public communication. Is there any other interest in public communication? I know I don't have a card, but okay, I see none. Public communication is now closed. Let's move on to the consent calendar. And we have items 1 through 3 on the consent calendar. Do I have a motion to pass items 1 through 3?
I have a comment before we make that motion.
Okay.
Normally, on the consideration, we have a receive and file. Here, I notice on 1 and 2, we have approval. I'm recommending that we have receive and file rather than approval.
Okay, is there any... anybody have any angst over that up here? All right.
No.
So, all right. I mean, is there a motion to pass items 1 through 3 with the changing of to receive and file rather than approval?
Well, I think he made the first. I'll second that.
Okay.
Just to move it along.
Any objections? All right. Madam Secretary, take a vote, please.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
And Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Okay, items 1 and 3 have all been passed. 1 through 3 have been passed. All right, moving down to business matters, items 4 through 9. Do I have a motion to push forward and pass items 4 through 9?
Mr. President, I would like to pull item number 9.
Okay. Anybody else want to pull another item?
I would like to consider item 8 and 4 and 5 separately.
Let's see. You want to pull an item too? It's all right. Why don't we just pull them all?
No, I'm just letting you know that our auditors are here in the audience tonight from RAMS in regards to our CAFR, which is our annual financial report, which would be item number 7. Mm-hmm. So that if you have any questions, he's available to answer any questions in regards to our CAFR.
Thank you. All right. Okay, so the motion would be to pass items on business matters, items 4 through 9, with the exception of items 4, 5, 8, and 9, to pass items 6 and 7. Do I have a second on that motion?
I will make the second.
I'll second if we could just say pass items 6 and 7.
Well,
hey, that was kind of a mouthful, Mr.
What
President.
What the heck? Why not? All right. Is there any objection?
No objection.
Okay.
Can we have a presentation on item number 7?
Sure, if you want to. All right.
I passed the motion, but I would like a presentation.
Okay. So, Madam Secretary, take a vote.
Again, the motion is to pass business items number 6 and 7 with a presentation on item number 7. Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Okay. Let's move to item 4. Greg?
Well, where are we going to get the presentation on
seven? Let's push through them. When we get up to 7, we'll do the presentation. How's that sound?
Okay. I had some questions for staff on item number 4. Linda, if maybe you could help. Good evening. I was reading the staff report, which I found to be very interesting, but I did want to ask some questions. So, have we ever done anything like this in the past?
In the 8 years that I have been here, not to my knowledge.
Okay, and it does go against our currently stated policies, correct?
Yes.
And then also, if we were to approve something of this nature, how would that affect the infrastructure which these fees are designed to go towards? Would it have a desperate impact on the construction of those?
The actual construction of the facilities is being paid for by the developer.
Mm-hmm.
The fees that they're requesting that be split are fees and deposits for the district, including capacity charges, deposits, overhead fees, things of that nature.
Okay. So, again, kind of to maybe reword my question, so would if we were to delay payment, what effect would that have on our ability to use the money the way we would want to? Would it?
Well, we would not have the money.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I figured, but okay. All right. Thank you, Linda. I appreciate that. Mr. President, I've given this one a lot of thought. It was kind of an interesting proposal, and while I definitely want to try to help our development community, I think I'll stand by the recommendation of the committee on this, and I propose that we adopt the recommendation of the committee and reject this request.
What was the last part you said?
That we reject their request.
Okay.
Per the recommendations of the committee.
Do you want to say something, Cliff?
Yes. Why are we, developers approaching us to do something that will help them and does not harm us. Why are we rejecting it? There's no harm to us.
Well, I mean, it goes against our policies, for starters.
There's no harm to us.
Well, I mean, according to Linda, we wouldn't have the monies to provide for those infrastructures, correct? I mean, I'm sorry to make you get up again, but I mean, that's a concern of mine.
The cost to install the infrastructure, the pipelines, fire hydrants, are all funded by the developer. Mm-hmm. These are fees for connection fees, capacity charges, inspection fees, overhead and administration fees, deposits for meters. There's a various different things that this payment is for.
But in the end, these fees support infrastructure that support for the city, I mean, well, for our service area, as including this community. But it's not an immediate impact.
But does this have a negative impact on us?
In the short run, no, but in the long run, yes.
What's the long-term negative
impact? Well, the long-term is this community has to have support from the system as a whole, and wherever we find that we need to do capital improvements, whether it's to the treatment plant or to the pump stations or the reservoirs, that's why I say it's not immediate, but it will in the long term. That's why we collect these fees, so that we can maintain the system as a whole.
Okay, do we have a financial problem in terms of granting this request? I don't understand. We have special requests mm-hmm. coming to all of us all the time. Mm-hmm. We try to accommodate them, mm-hmm. and then we get this one, and we want to reject it. I'm differing with Greg Young.
We understand, but the reason for staff's recommendation is we have policies in place and which require collection of all the fees before construction begins. But at the same time, it's the board's pleasure to make the decisions that the board wants to make.
Can you explain what they're asking for, the changes?
I'm sorry?
Can you explain so everybody knows what they're asking for, the changes?
They want a payment schedule. Instead of paying everything up front before construction begins, they want a payment schedule. Originally, I think it went out over a couple of years, but they've agreed that because we did have it in our budget to receive the monies for this project, by June 30th of this year, they've agreed that they would do a payment plan that provides the money by June 30th of this year.
Is there any way to secure that to make sure that we do get the money?
They've offered a bond.
Oh, okay. So we're going to get the money no matter what.
We should, yeah.
We will get the money. It will be in, what, two or three payments rather than one?
Well, I'm not sure how many payments they want to do right now. The representative of the company would have to speak to that issue, but we can also specify what we want for payments. The main thing is they've agreed that it would happen before June 30th of this year.
And it's secured by a bond, right?
And it would be secured by a bond.
I'm inclined to agree with Dr. Young.
Well, perhaps the committee who recommended rejection can speak to why they recommended rejection then.
I think there was from my understanding, I can, Dr.
Because I was kind of leaning on Don, the committee's recommendation right. on this.
Yeah, and Don can clarify. I was under the impression that we brought it to board to review as a whole. There wasn't any kind of direction given either way, and that's why we kept it on the agenda. Had we would have declined it, we wouldn't even have brought it to the board.
Oh, that was another question I had.
Yes, so that was kind of where I was on that. I appreciate what Dr. Young is saying, and I do agree with him. Regarding the policy, however, I do, you know, Greg was saying regarding, you know, we're going against policy. Is that something that could be changed as well?
The board has a right to amend policy.
Okay.
I recommend that we reject the committee's recommendation and allow this company to work out multiple payments for them. I don't see any reason, and they will have a bond. I don't see any reason why not.
Well, can we just clarify that in fact, despite what was in the staff report, was not actually the committee's recommendation, is what you're telling us, correct?
That was my assumption of the committee's recommendation.
I have a motion on the floor.
Yes.
Do I have a second?
Okay. Can you, so basically you want us to pass it as is. Approve as is.
Correct.
Yes.
Is that what you're asking for?
Yes.
All right. There's a motion on the floor to pass agenda item on the business matters number four as stated. Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, any objections?
Can I just ask a question? So, yeah, so just to be clear, the committee was okay with this actuality. Because, again, part of my comments was based on what I read the committee had recommended.
We had a long discussion.
Yeah.
The questions that you ask, we also ask.
Yeah.
We also were concerned about precedent.
Mm-hmm. As
and,
am I.
And because, will this open the door then for other developers to ask for, you know, irregularity of our policy? And so that was a concern. However,
so what is the committee's recommendation? Because, again, I was going off of what was in the
Don study. And I were actually split. Don was initially in favor of going with the staff based on the policy and the precedent. I was in favor of, you know, let's consider new options. And more importantly, I wanted to bring it up for everybody to discuss and not just Don and I make an isolated decision, because this is something that we hadn't come across, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So to answer your question, it sounds like Director Olinger and I were split on the
That's
recommendation.
Fine. Again, I just want clarification for my own
I have
sake.
A motion on the floor. Can we have a vote on the motion on the floor?
All right, Madam Secretary, take a vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't write down the second. Who was the second? Thank you.
But is that motion to receive all the money by June 30th, though?
Yeah, whatever is written in the report that's here.
Okay.
Under item four, we're passing. Okay. Or
to
put
accept their request.
And there are assurances in the contract that we will be paid.
If we have
that'll
a
be worked out.
We will make sure that those are put
this
in.
This is a major developer. This is
okay.
not a small developer.
What we have is an accommodation issue here.
Okay.
And a vote.
All right.
Can we vote, please?
Director Don Olinger?
This is difficult for me, but I'm going to vote in favor.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. Doesn't the president usually vote last?
He does. I apologize that my roll sheet's
okay.
a little off tonight.
That's all right. Go ahead. Yes.
Director Greg Young?
After the discussion, I will vote yes.
And Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Before we move on to the next item, I wanted to get clarification from Clarence and from staff. I know there was something that was discussed during the committee meeting regarding when construction will start. Is it possible that we do not delay the start of construction because of this conversation and where we're at with working out the final details, or what's our opportunity with that?
We can give permission for construction to start, and that would be tomorrow.
Okay. Thanks, sir.
Great. All right. Motion passes 5-0. All right, let's move to item number 5. Greg, this one's yours too.
I just want a separate vote on it.
Item number 5?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So you don't disagree with anything? You just want a separate vote on it?
Well, I'm not in favor of it. I think it's too much money, and I think that we should wait until next year, even though I'm the one who advocated to put it in this year's budget.
All right, so we'll just have a separate vote on it then.
Can I have information?
Sure.
Have a total amount of the... of item number 5?
It's just under $600,000. Can you speak to that, Linda? She has the details.
114. No. The lowest bid received was $567,000.
How much did we budget it this for?
In the budget, we have currently $397,936.
Okay. And Linda, where did we get that number from? Where did we get the budget number from?
We had the budget from, we had a request from a board member to have it limited to a certain amount. And so we were trying to pare down the project to accommodate that pricing.
And was that number just, how
was it picked out of the air?
How did that number get to? How did we get to that number?
It was a request by a former board member that we limit it to a certain number.
Got it.
But we also have the architect here. If you want to see a quick presentation or additional information.
Well, and additionally, when we were doing the budget, we took it off, and then I tried to get it back on, but we were trying to focus just on the customer service one and not both of them. But I feel it's still more than what we should, but that's just me.
I just think this is too much to pay at this particular time, and I move a motion no on item number 5.
And I'll second.
would delaying the project, if it needs to be done, customer service representatives were at the meeting, at the committee meeting. They stated some pretty compelling reasons for the project to be done. And by delaying, would it really cost us more because of inflation and other costs?
Well, what I would also say to you, Mr. Olinger, is that one of my concerns is not only is it about, what, $170,000 over budget, this does not include any of the cost of relocating staff and all the other costs associated with how we're going to manage our customer service people while the construction's going. So to me, I just felt that that was just a little too much. Again, I'm a strong advocate for this project. That's why I fought to put it in the budget to begin with. But we had a lot of difficulty in bidding this project initially. And I don't know, I just feel like it's still a little bit too high for me.
And that's just
my opinion.
Right. And
I'm still for the project, but maybe we need to revisit it next year.
Push this project until we finish with mid-year budget review.
I agree with your statement on it being over budget and it's spending a tremendous amount of money. However, what I was asking is where we got that budget number from. Did we have this project bid years ago and that's what we were going to pay for back then? Or where did we get this number from?
We had no idea how much this was going to cost when we started down this road. I mean, the architect gave the committee some suggestions, but even then he was very quick to remind us that we really didn't know what the market was going to be until we put it out to bid. And again, the first time we did, we only got one bid. And the second time we did get more bids, but they were well over what we were at least hoping for.
Correct.
So
we're over budget based on a number that we just
pulled out of thin air.
Well, it wasn't completely pulled out of thin air.
By the time you finish with this project, it's going to be higher than this. And what's not in this number here is the cost of relocating staff, moving them back. There were trailers and a whole lot of other stuff involved. I just think we need to get some better numbers than what we have right now.
And I don't disagree, but to Director Olinger's point, it's not going to get any cheaper. It's like maintenance on a car. It's never going to get any cheaper. Unless we're looking at just buying a whole new building, that's a whole other conversation to have, but it's not going to get any cheaper. I don't disagree with your statements. However, I think kicking the can down the road ain't going to make it any cheaper is my only concern.
Mr. Board President, if I could just add something to that.
Sure.
Staff did look into the relocation cost of putting staff permanently. There were some costs looking at them moving into some other trailers and all that. Costs are going to be about 130 plus. But we also looked at a less expensive moving them into the engineering room and making that sort of the temporary area and using the reception area and just building a wall and a door there. Cost was about $20,000. Okay. There's also another alternative that's about $15,000 where we wouldn't have to build those rooms and just basically use the door as the door that would, you know, allow people in and out. So those aren't on here, but there's something that we can, if we took it back, we could look at some of the alternatives.
When we approach this project, Bob Christman and I discuss, my overall thing is that we have this building and we're continually patching up this building. And I think we should look at some other options before we invest. This is saying $600,000, it's going to go to $800,000 into this project at the present time. I was an advocate at the beginning of this project until the numbers just started getting crazy.
But do you agree that you will not become an advocate of it because the numbers will not get smaller?
I'm not saying I'm not an advocate. I'm against the cost of this program.
But the numbers never get smaller.
I understand that.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. With that said, I got to tell you, I kind of agree with Kyle and Don that we're just kicking this can down the road. It's going to get more expensive as the economy changes and building prices go up. And Ricardo, it sounds like a pretty doggone good idea. We could save a lot of money if we do that. We'll go ahead. We got a motion on the floor right now to not approve item number 5. So let's go ahead. Madam Secretary, take a vote, please.
Director Don Olinger?
No.
Director
I'm sorry, Greg Young?
Yes.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
No.
President Dr. Michael Taylor?
No. Motion fails 3-2. All right, do I have a motion on the floor to accept item number 5 as is?
I will make the motion to accept item number 5 as is.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Any objections?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Now we got some objections. All right, Madam Secretary, take a vote.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
No.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
No.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. Motion passes 3-2. All right, let's move down to item number 6. Greg, that was yours you wanted to talk on?
We passed item 6
passed
and 7.
Passed item 7.
7, I'm sorry.
No. I mean item 8.
8. I tell you, the font on this is, I got to get glasses.
I had some concerns about the verbiage on this. Unfortunately, I didn't have time this week because I had a pretty busy week to talk with Clarence about it, but I do support the general idea that we do need to do some long-term strategic planning, but I am just uncomfortable with some of the language in here and the specificity of the projects. I think that we should be vague when it comes to board resolutions like that. So I cannot support it in its current condition, so I wanted a separate consideration.
Oh, okay. But for transparency, don't we want to be kind of specific, you think?
But sometimes when it comes to these, when we're talking about how we're going to get outside water sources, I think mm-hmm. sometimes it's best not to completely broadcast your okay. intentions.
Right.
And like I said, there was some verbiage that I would prefer changed if given the opportunity to consider it again.
All right. So are you making a motion or?
I mean, I would make a motion that we table it and maybe rework it, but because, again, I'm still in favor of the overall idea that we do need to do some long-term planning for our water needs.
Okay. You would make a motion? Or
yeah, I'll make a motion that we table this.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor that tabled item number, what was it?
8.
8. Do I have a sec? Did you have something? Oh.
Are we on item 8 or item 7?
We're on 8.
8.
Okay.
I second the motion. All right, Madam Secretary, take a vote, please.
Could I make a comment?
Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
Question. I'm going to vote for a delay on this because I need more information. I did go over this with our GM. It sounds very promising, and I think it'll eventually pass. I'm concerned about other districts in terms of the water master plan for sustainability and whether it would conflict with that. You know, I think I asked you that question and some other things in there that I think it's a long-range contract. It's going to be expensive. I won't be around to see it. Most of us here in this room won't be, you know, the completion of it. I'd like to ask legal a question with regard to resolution. Is a resolution binding forever?
Yes.
Can a resolution be changed?
It can be.
Modified.
But a resolution is binding until it's changed.
The board, in other words, if we were to adopt it tonight as is, it could be changed. Wording.
Yes, the resolution may be changed.
Yeah. But the delay, what about the delay, GM? Would that hurt in any way?
We can, we'd like to move.
Delay to the next meeting, let's say.
Oh, okay, that wouldn't be a problem.
Wouldn't be a problem. I'm for that.
Is this a major project for the district, sir?
It's not just one project. This is a planning effort, and where there are small projects that we could implement immediately, such as water banking in other areas, those might be something we can implement quickly, where we would have water on reserve if we need it. But at the same time, some of the other projects could be long-term projects.
As I look at it, it has long-term implications for the district, correct?
Yes.
Why don't the board have a workshop on this sometime in the future?
so we get a better. I was trying to read.
That's a good idea.
And it got a little convoluted to me. So I would like the board to set a workshop that has long-term implications.
Okay.
Sure.
That's Director Olinger, would you agree
yes,
with
Yes, I like that idea.
Greg, you want to amend your motion?
I will amend my motion that we table the item till a special workshop can be called on the item.
Any objections? Or do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, any objections? All right, take a vote, Madam Secretary, please.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
Yes.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
Yes.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes. 5-0. Clarence, probably the sooner the better. It seems to be an important issue, so if you can put together maybe a...
We will do that.
Yeah, okay. And we'll talk about dates.
Okay, all right.
Maybe how about have some dates ready for us at the next meeting?
I will do that.
All right. How about we send out some potential dates next week?
We can do that.
All right. Sounds good to everybody.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we're gonna look at dates. Thank you. All right. Moving along to item number 9. Cliff, I think this one was yours.
Huh?
You pulled item 9?
Yes. In simple language, I read the staff report. Explain to me what's happening here.
Last fiscal year, there was a contract with a consultant, Robert Catherman, mm-hmm. and that contract was for under $25,000, and it was signed by Rob Catherman, but not signed by the district.
How much was it for again?
For under $25,000, and so we found that the contract. We found no evidence of the contract being signed by the district. But the point is, when it was time, when that contract, which was from March to June, was expiring in June, there was another contract proposed, this time because the amount was going to exceed $25,000. That contract was supposed to go before the board for approval. The first one was not, and the second one, instead of the second contract, which we'll call the latter contract, which was to cover the period July 18 to July 19. Instead of that being put in the board package, what was put in the board package was a contract that was expiring. So even though the discussion was for the fiscal year coming, the contract in the package was for the temporary, the one that was presented with for the GM signature. So basically, the consultant has been on board with everybody having the understanding that he is working under a contract July 18 to July 19, but in fact, that contract was never approved by the board.
So he's working now without a contract?
He has been, yes.
This doesn't say that.
It does. The report does.
Reference it for me, please.
Well, maybe it, let me find it, 256.
I read this 3 times.
Right.
And I didn't get it.
Well, it says that he was.
I didn't get it.
Yeah. It was saying that we don't have a contract.
So if we approve this tonight, we're granting a $100,000 contract.
Well, the contract had no minimum, no maximum, but the estimated cost. In the contract, there's no minimum, no maximum. Those are the language. That's the language. But the estimated cost of his services for the year is about $100,000.
Counselor, approving, assuming he doesn't have a contract right now, mm-hmm. he has been working, we have an obligation to pay him for that time that he's been working.
Well, I think under these circumstances.
Yes, understand my question.
I do, Director Young. I think under these circumstances you do, because the board knew that he was working and allowed him to work. As it turns out, there was a mistake made in the packet so that his contract didn't actually get signed. But because he has done the work and the board knew he was doing the work, I think there is an obligation.
How much would we owe him right to date?
That I don't know.
Well, he's paid up in, except for his last few invoices.
So we've been paying him.
Oh, yes.
So we're not in a deficit right now.
We just have a couple of outstanding invoices that were just recently presented.
But we can pay those.
Yes, we have the money to pay those.
So we're not owing him. We will pay him what we owe him today.
He's provided the work, and we've been providing payment.
Okay. That wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not clear in the write-up.
Yeah, we were saying we need to retroactively approve the contract.
So the new contract, we're committing ourselves to $100,000.
Which was the, there was no specific, yeah.
I know
the
what
answer,
the past was.
Right.
In the new contract, if it's approved tonight, we're committing ourselves to $100,000.
Yes.
A lot of which has already been
paid. A lot of which has already been paid.
Counselor?
Because there's no actual number in the contract, Director Young, you're actually committing yourself to whatever he does.
Incurs.
Yeah, that's right. I have some.
It could be more, it could be less.
So is that a ceiling limit not to exceed that
the
amount?
The contract says for compensation, $85 an hour, no minimum, no maximum.
I have some questions when you're done. But
Board President, if I could provide a little clarification. It's not to exceed $100,000, so we need to pay back the invoices that are due, and then going forward, you just don't exceed that amount of money.
No. That is incorrect, that's I believe, right. Assistant General Manager. I believe the contract says it's unlimited, so there's
yes.
no limit of $100,000.
No minimum, no maximum.
I had right. that circle.
Right.
And I have a couple other circles in my notes on this contract, too, because right. it looked like it was just go yeah. on and on and on.
Well, yeah, there's no minimum, no maximum, but we estimate the cost will be $100,000.
Did you write this contract?
I did not. It was my understanding.
Who wrote
I think
this
Mr.
contract?
Catherman provided this contract.
But it was reviewed by yourself and counsel. That's my understanding.
The original contract?
The contract that was supposed to go before the board. We have email correspondence.
I'm talking about the contract that's before us right now.
Right. That contract, which was supposed to go for the term June 18 to July 18 to July 19, we have email correspondence that you had reviewed.
I'm not concerned
approved.
About that. I'm concerned about what's before us to approve right now. What's before us to approve right now, my reading of it, not an attorney, not an accountant. Mm-hmm. My reading of this, it has no ceiling.
And that was a contract that was intended to go before the board, but the other contract for under 25 is the one that showed up in the package.
I have a few more questions, but Greg had some questions.
Can I ask a question on this? So in other words, we're basically hiring a contractor at $85 an hour, and we use him when and however many hours we need him, and that's right. it, right? So
that's
we're just
correct.
Setting an hourly wage. But we have an open-end contract, so we don't have to bring this back all the time.
Right.
Okay.
And he
Makes
works
sense.
At the direction, as it says in the contract, at
right.
the direction of the board
all right.
or the district.
Okay, so that makes sense to me, though.
I have questions. I mean, I know that when we brought him in for the first contract, we had a very specific item which we wanted his expertise on, particularly, I believe, it was the groundwater situation, because he had similar experience when he was a director, I forget which agency it was, down in the Southgate
yeah.
area
yeah,
or somewhere
down there,
replenishment district. So, I mean, at the time we were bringing him in, what seemed to be a very limited basis to work on something at the time I thought was fairly specific, although I never actually saw the original contract, because I noticed when you look at that and the new one, that the scope of work is about as vague as it could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a little concerning that we're basically hiring a consultant to do whatever, and we'll pay them, no minimum, no maximum, whatever we end up using them for. To me, it's like if we're going to have someone on a retainer, basically, there should be, I think, a little more to the scope of work than a one sentence. I mean, that's one of my concerns. Now, Mr. Kapperman's a very knowledgeable guy. Again, we brought him in to help on a specific thing, but now this has just kind of ended up being
a very open-ended thing, can we at least get a little more detail? What specifically is he doing? And more importantly, if he's now crossing the line to where he's basically now becoming a de facto employee, why aren't we looking to just hire someone to do that? I mean, $85 an hour, hell, I'd like to make $85 an hour. I don't get anywhere near that working for the county. I'm underpaid. Okay. You know, so it's like, to me, it doesn't make sense to me. Why are we basically hiring an employee at $85 an hour to do a job that's not specified to the least bit?
Well, I think for his level of competence, experience, and plus the fact we're not paying retirement, medical, or any other benefits, $85 seems like a pretty reasonable cost based on
his
expertise.
Well, if there's a specific project that we need his expertise for, but again, we're basically being asked to agree to an open-ended contract with no specificity as far as what he's supposed to be working on. Again, if you can show me a project where his expertise is worth $85, I'm fine with that. But don't put something open-ended like this and expect me to be okay with it.
Right. But the scope of services in the original contract for under 25.
I agree.
And the scope of services in the
I never saw that one.
Are both the same.
I agree. But at the same time, we had verbally given him, hey, we want to bring you on to work on something specific. And again, we never talked about this being a permanent thing. Now we're talking about kind of basically having him as an employee. So again, what is his job? What is his duties?
Well, it's not permanent. The contract that we're asking the board
$85 an hour, unlimited, up to, you know, probably more than 100,000. That's starting to sound a lot like a position to me.
But the contract terminates July of 2019.
Yeah.
Well, can you give us your justification for continuing this particular consultant?
My justification would be for the reasons that he was originally brought on board before I even started here, which is he is helping us with the groundwater management issues. He's been very valuable in terms of our litigation, which we won't talk about, but in providing advice in that. He's got experience in that area. Just in normal day-to-day operations where we're having problems, he's been very helpful with providing information.
Would he be
Robert Catherman?
I just
see a value in resolution that we talked about tonight, the water supply reliability program.
Going forward,
does he have expertise in that area?
Mm-hmm. He has, absolutely. In every area that we've talked about, groundwater remediation, groundwater recharge, imported water, he's got a lot of experience in all of those areas. Water banking, you know.
You know, Director Young brought up something. If we have such a need, why not just hire staff, have staff to fill that need?
I don't think we have that kind of expertise.
You know, you're talking about a lot of specialties. Now, he's in projects like what we're talking about, you need engineers, of course, and he's an engineer. But you also need legal counsel. You also need geologists. You know, it's just not, you can't find all those talents in one body. And so it's really a team, and usually because the projects are temporary in nature, they're not ongoing.
I have a question for legal. Right. Legal, without going into too much details because we're in a public setting, I also have concerns after what they just mentioned that wouldn't this be potentially opening us up to some legal issues with union who we're currently in negotiations with? Because now once you're starting to get to the point to where you're basically contracting someone to do the job, which could be done by a unionized employee of the district, are we now entering a whole new realm of potential problems here?
Well, I don't know what,
without going into too much, because I don't want to talk about a closed session item, but it's no secret that we're currently in negotiations right now for representation.
We are currently in negotiation.
Yeah. So couldn't something like this impact us, that we're basically now relying on something which could be done by employees of this district? I mean, granted,
these are professional services that are not included in the union.
Well, but could the union make an argument that this should be someone?
Generally speaking, engineers and professionals are not a part of a union. Now, in larger agencies, Counselor, such as the city, you can have specialized unions.
Of course, the unions can always make claims. They make a lot of claims.
We're hiring a lot of consultants where we could be hiring employees for. But I don't want to get into that discussion. Yeah. What I do want to get into is on item number 12 of the contract, conflict of interest. Has the consultant met this requirement on page 2?
To the best of our knowledge, yes, because all of his area of activity outside of this work is in L.A. County and dealing with L.A. County agencies.
No, that's not the question I'm asking. Has he disclosed any contributions, any gifts to management or board members? That's the question I'm asking.
I would have to check the records for that.
Well, shouldn't we know that?
We should know that, and I'll check the records.
Okay, I think that's a critical question that we need to know before we move on this contract.
But even if Mr. Catherman has donated money to you or you or you or you, that doesn't mean there's a conflict of interest that you can't vote on it.
It's not a conflict. Yes, it's a conflict of interest of board members to vote on.
No, people have donated to a lot of people's campaigns.
It's a conflict.
Wait just a minute. Can I finish? I let you finish. There have been people that have donated to a lot of people up here. And then they come before here and have contracts. So it's just not accurate that if somebody donates to somebody on the dais, that somehow there's a conflict of interest and they can no longer come before the board. That's just not accurate.
Counselor, I suggest that you read the conflict of interest code by the state of California. That's not accurate what you're representing. I have read it. I've sought advice from the California Fair Political Act, and that's a conflict. I'm asking for a disclosure.
All right, was there a motion on the floor so we can move this through? Was there a motion on the floor? Did you have a motion not to pass it, or what's your motion?
I hadn't made a motion.
Okay, I'm gonna make a motion. I'm gonna make a motion that we pass item number, nine as is. Do I have a second?
I'll second, we already approved it.
All right, so do I have any objections?
I do.
Okay, one objection. Madam Secretary, take a vote. Two objections.
Two objections.
Madam Secretary, take a vote, please. Madam Secretary, there's a motion on the floor. Please let us vote, then you can speak all you want. Take the vote.
Point of order.
Madam Secretary, take a vote, please.
Director Don Olinger?
Yes.
Director Greg Young?
No.
Director Dr. Clifford Young?
No.
Vice President Kyle Crowther?
Yes.
And President Dr. Michael Taylor?
Yes, motion passes 3-2. Okay. Dr. Young, what's your comments?
Counselor, will you bring us the regulations that you just quoted to the board?
I'm sure if that's
the regulations containing gifts and contributions to elected officials and what they can vote on and what they cannot vote on. It's clear in the law to me. I'm not a legal counsel. I did seek advice. I would like for you to bring that before the board. Is that appropriate?
I was waiting because I didn't want to be interrupted yet again, because each time I talk, you interrupt me, and I don't know why you do it. I've been very courteous to you.
Because I'm an elected official. I'm an elected official. That's why.
Okay. Items passed. We wanted to have a presentation on item number 7, I believe, that was requested by Dr. Young. Can we have that presentation real quick? Thank you, sir. Hey, welcome to West Valley Water District.
Hi, my name, good evening, members of the board. My name is Brad Welliber, a partner at Rogers Anderson, Mallody & Scott, and we performed the financial statement audit for fiscal year ended June 30, 2018, and have issued the opinion letter on the comprehensive annual financial report that you have a copy of. And this contains the financial results of the district for that said year end, June 30, 2018. The report that's included in there is what's called an unmodified report. It's the highest level of assurance auditors can provide on a set of financial statements. Unmodified refers to that there's no modifications to the report, so it is in compliance with generally accepted accounting principles. And that is a good thing. Included in that comprehensive annual financial report is also an award for the prior year that shows that the district is adhering to the highest level of standards in financial reporting received from the GFOA, which is the Government Finance Officers Association. And we feel very strongly that the information in this 2018 CAFR will also be receiving the award, and the district has submitted that off for financial reporting excellence, which is great. The process of that is that this GFOA, which is a national organization, receives these CAFRs and then sends them out to practitioners in other states, so there's no conflict, and then they review them in accordance with all the standards, accounting principles, and so forth, and then give a feedback on there, and if there's any suggestions for improvements or if they decline the award, then they let the district know and you have an opportunity to correct that. You received the award last year, which is great, which is a lot to say with staff and the collaboration between staff and auditors to make sure that everything is adhering to the latest standards. And every year, they add new standards for accounting and things you need to comply with. The big one this year was related to your OPEB, which is other post-employment benefits, and that brought the liability for that onto the face of the statements. This is not a new liability, and the financial accounting standards don't dictate how you fund that. That's something that you negotiate here as directors of the board, but for financial reporting purposes, it brings that liability onto the face of the statements, and that's included. There's about 7 or 8 pages of new notes and required supplementary information related to that. That's very interesting if you're an actuary and as an accountant. So that just is really to make it more transparent and make government financial reporting more comparable across the different districts and cities and so forth. We also issued another letter, which is just our standard communication to the board, and in that letter it just outlines our responsibilities, management's responsibilities, and in that letter, had we had findings of internal control matters that came up during our audit, we would have communicated it through that process, but we did not have items like that. District has made a considerable effort over the last year since we did our last audit to address different things that we had brought up in the past, and they've done an excellent job, and we have no findings to report for the year ended June 30,
18. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have a comment.
Sure.
Thank you for your report. It's a significant difference, the 18 report and the 17 report, so I appreciate your review of our financial conditions and the staff that work with you in that interim period between 17 and 18. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, moving along, we're going to go to reports. I'd like to move to legal counsel first. If you can report out on our closed session, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. So in closed session, the board gave me direction to retain legal counsel regarding several investigations. One investigation will be regarding Patricia Romero's complaint to the FPPC. The also Patricia Romero's complaint to the district attorney's office against West Valley Water District, Mr. Taylor, Mr. Crowther, Mr. Olinger, Mr. Mansell, Mr. Pacheco, Ms. Martinez, Ms. Blunt, Mr. Catherman, Mr. Rodriguez, and Mr. Wilby. So the complaint made to the district attorney. And
what was her position at the district?
Assistant board secretary.
Thank you.
We're also going to investigate a complaint by Ms. Martinez, Mr. Pacheco, and Mr. Mansell against Clifford Young. We'll also be investigating a Attorney General investigation made by Mr. Griggs Mr. Brown, I believe. And then also be investigating a complaint made by Naisha Davis against Clarence Mansell. I think that's it.
Thank you, counsel. All right, moving along, we'll go to board members, starting with Mr. Olinger. Do you have anything? Okay. Director Young?
Yes. Briefly, I do want to thank members of the community who have inquired about my mother's health. So thank you for that. I do want to express my also gratitude to the West Valley
Water District team who did the tour of the Romer plant for Mr. Griggs and his group. Ernie and Gary did an exceptional job. And thank you to Nassim, Socorro, and Clarence for also being there and doing a great job. So I do want to thank you all for that. It was a great opportunity, and I know I've seen it a couple times, but it was my first time seeing the hydro plant, so I was very happy to finally get to see that myself. Finally, it's been a long week, but it was made longer by a very concerning letter that I received, and I assume that my colleagues also received from our chief financial officer, detailing some very disturbing claims about internal controls and the lack of them. Quite a few items that have been done without board approval, including shifting money from purposes to which it was not budgeted for, from things that it was budgeted for. Frankly, it was a very disturbing letter, to be perfectly honest. And as the only CPA in this entire room, she has a legal obligation to inform this body of concerns such as these. I think the only course of action at this point, and I'm exercising my right as a board member, to place an item on the next agenda. Ma'am Secretary, I would like to place that the board take up an action item to authorize the full independent audit of all financial dealings of the district over the past year, including all contracts and all contractors, including legal counsels. And I would also add, as a part of that action item, that the selection of the independent auditor be made by the state controller's office. That way, there can be no doubt that it is a complete independent audit of these concerns. And I would hope that in the interest of transparency and fulfilling our duty to the ratepayers of this district, that my colleagues would join me in supporting that at the next board meeting. Thank you.
I'll do one better. Let's do it for the last 2 years. How's that sound?
Fine by me.
All right, good. All right, so let's move right along. Dr. Young?
Is that agreed to go on the next agenda and a report be presented to us? I think that report should come from either our treasurer or our CPAs and not internal. Is that agreeable to the board members?
How about if the general manager makes the arrangement to...
No, the general manager is implicated in the letter that we read, that we received.
Well, I don't see a problem if he makes a recommendation. I mean,
I'm asking either our auditors or our treasurer make the recommendation to the board.
Which recommendation?
For an independent audit.
No, I'll restate. I want the state controller's office to make the recommendation of the firm who we would use. I do not want anyone at the district to have any involvement in that selection. They do this kind of thing all the time for public agencies throughout the state of California. It is only prudent that we use them as the resource for this item.
That's fine. I agree with that. I have a problem with it. Anybody have any comments on that?
Can that be recorded in the minutes?
I just have a comment. With the CAFR just being completed, I've done financial reports in the past. When you're doing an audit, and before they actually finalize that audit, it should be subsequent events that, if Naisha felt that there was some improprieties or something, that could be recorded, and they actually accept that as under subsequent events, and I'm surprised that that's not noted, findings.
As I read the letter, the period is covered, and I consulted with our auditors. The period that is referenced is outside of the closing of the books for July of 18. It's outside of that scope.
But even so if it is, they would put that into consideration.
Ms. Martinez, that is incorrect. I consulted with the auditors myself. I went and visited the auditors and asked them point blank, is this something that you would take up in your current audit? No, because that current audit closed June the 30th of 2018. What I have noticed is outside of that scope. So I'm agreeing with Director Young's, Director Greg Young's recommendation to this board.
All right, let's just put it on the next agenda. All right, everybody agree to that? Mm-hmm. All right, just put it on the next agenda. We'll decide then. Okay. Cliff, was that it?
No, I was.
Oh, okay.
I had something to
you
say.
You got excited there. I didn't want to cut you off.
I had a very this morning at 7:30 went to the city of Fontana, their presentation for the year. It was a very excellent presentation. I'm very proud to be adjacent to the city. Did I say to the city of Fontana? The growth and the prospects and the unity of that community into moving it forward. I didn't know it was the second largest city in San Bernardino County, but they're growing and they're prospering and they are working together. I'm glad part of West Valley is in that district. So I want to report that.
Well, yeah, but do you want to give any love to Mayor Robertson in case she hears these comments?
I'm a resident, okay. A resident of Rialto. I wish Rialto could move in that direction. Well, Rialto has some signs of moving. The Renaissance Plaza that I visit at least two or three times a week. So,
I just didn't want her to feel left out.
There's plenty of love to my sister,
okay,
Deborah.
Good.
All right.
Is that it?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Kyle?
Yes, a couple quick things. I want to thank Edison for coming out. I appreciate that. I'm glad the tour went well with Mr. Griggs and Greg Young for going out. I appreciate that. And yes, as Dr. Young mentioned, Fontana is moving forward and it's expanding almost overnight, especially on the north end of the city. And I'm glad that West Valley is working with, you know, developers such as K-Hav on getting and still growing and making things move forward. So thank you guys all for coming out tonight.
All right, with that said, I agree. Okay, Mr. General Manager, do you have anything to add tonight?
Yes, we have a presentation tonight from our engineering section. Talat, are you here?
We made him wait this whole time?
Yeah, yeah.
We could have had him go earlier.
So Talat is with our GIS, and he's been working on some of the, what you, many of you have been asking to put together the data. But in particular, he's going to show you right now the different voting districts that we have today and how we can access that, and it'll be online and be able to access that. So Talat?
Yes.
Citizens can look at their location, put their address in, and it'll show what district they're in and who the director is.
I saw your password. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, wrong one.
Good evening. My name is Talat, and I'm the GIS coordinator here at the district. And today I'm going to present one of my web applications specifically for our customers so that they can log on our web page and then get some of the election division information. So first of all, I would like to talk about the platform we use. It's called ArcGIS Online Platform, which is online storage that whatever I create in as a web map or web application, I save there. And then some of the applications are available for public, some of them specifically for us. So depends on the content. Today I am going to introduce our election division information. So we are asking our customers to use this application. Basically, there is an opening instruction here. Either use the address or simply find your location and then click on it. Basically, I'm going to demonstrate right now. I have some generic address, so I'm going to use it. So basically, once I start typing, ArcGIS is offering me the specific close addresses, so I can either type entire address or just giving address, so that map is gonna find what division is this, and all the related information is gonna be available for the public. So this is Division 1, Mr. Kyle Crofter, and his title is Vice President of Board of Directors, and the election date is November 5th, 2019. And we also add a biography so that our customers can get information about Mr. Crofter. So this is just, I am entering the information, address information, but this application also allows people to use without address, they can zoom in, find their location. At the same time, this is a, when you zoom in, you're gonna have more specific street information. It's called scale dependency. So eyeball your address and then find your location and click on it. Any application is gonna find what division it is and all the related information with the biography of the board members. So I can show the other locations, and it's gonna give you the division information and existing biography for our board members, including the election date and all the available information. It's gonna, this is information is gonna be available for our customers through our web page 24/7. I'm just showing all the divisions and all the informations. And one good thing is, since everybody is using their cell phone, this application is also available for cell phone. If anybody wants to try to use cell phone, and the application is gonna work as same as I showed here. If anybody wants to try, it's available here. Thank you, I can answer your questions if you have any.
No, just thank you.
Thank you so much.
And right. When does this go live? Can you tell them when this goes live on the website?
As board approves, we can put it on tomorrow so that customers can reach this information.
Actually, there was one thing. Can you click on either President Taylor or Director Young's district? I believe we have the wrong date for their election. Because it is my understanding that it should be 22, and it would be
that's
the June easily primary.
I will fix 22. It's an easy fix, yes.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
Just to be accurate.
June of
22. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what's passed in the resolution.
Yeah.
I will fix that.
Yep, no
thank
problem.
You. Thank you.
Okay, moving right along.
And that's it for staff reports.
All right, thank you. Crystal, our up and coming meetings.
We do have a finance committee meeting tomorrow, 10 a.m. here at the district. We want to remind the public that we will be closed on Monday in observance of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And we do have a few other events on here. One for the San Bernardino Valley Municipal Water District. Your meeting is noted 22nd, as well as February 5th. And our next board meeting will be on February 7th. That'll be 6:30 p.m. with closed session at 6 p.m. Of course, that may change as needed.
That's it. All right, thank you. With that said, meeting adjourned. Yes, ma'am. Did I do something wrong? Am I in trouble?
Yeah, we'll be in trouble.
Yeah. We'll go straight forward. Yeah.